Thanks for checking out the VU Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Rich Wilkerson.
And we're just going to walk through this scripture together. And so if you've got your Bibles, I want you to open them to Acts chapter 12. If you're taking notes today, I titled this talk pretty simple. I titled it, Welcome Home. Welcome Home. And we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 19. And would you pray with me? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to anoint these words that today we might leave here better. God, we thank you so much that you're here. Thank you for all the moms that are here today, Lord. Thank you for what they mean to us in our lives. Today, Jesus, we praise you. We glorify your name. It's in your precious name that we pray that today you would speak to us. Use these words now that we might be changed, delivered, transformed, that we might leave here looking more like Jesus. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty and holy name, everybody said,
amen.
Come on, even in the overflow, everybody said,
amen.
Come on, VU Church, can we go ahead and give God a big, big shout of praise? Boom, 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 boom. This past week, I was kind of all over the place. I was in Dubai, and then I was in Mumbai, India. Then I found myself in the Maldives for a day or two, and I was traveling with a good friend of mine. Many of you know him, Pastor Carl Lentz. How many of y'all love Carl Lentz out there? Pastor's Hillsong New York City Church. He's going to actually be one of our guests at VU Conference. You need to get registered. He's going to be preaching. But I love Carl. You know, Carl is, he's amazing. And we found ourselves by the pool one day in India. And I needed some help. I needed someone to actually apply a little bit of sunblock on my back, which is already awkward, right? To ask your boy, hey, brah, can you put some of that copper tone on my back? You know, it's an awkward question. But we're quite good friends. We're quite secure. And he put the sunblock on my back, but, well, can I just show you a picture of how he put the, here's a good photo of my back after the sunblock. I think he missed a couple spots on my back. Look at that. There's a big white mark here. I don't even know. That's a cross tattoo. I apologize if you're against tattoos, but I sport Jesus. So anyways, this is not good, you know? How many of you know that my mom was missing from that equation? How many of you know my wife was definitely not there? How about this? How many know there wasn't a girl in sight because no woman would ever apply sunblock to someone like this? And I thought, what a beautiful illustration on Mother's Day. Do you know what the world looks like without moms? Where'd my photo go? Bring the photo back. There it is. This is what the earth looks like without moms and women. It's blotchy, it's incomplete, something's missing. Come on, how many believe that we need women on this earth? You know, we're studying the book of Acts, and what's amazing is you study the book of Acts, 22 different times you're going to see that women are mentioned directly or indirectly in advancing the gospel. In fact, there's three different occasions in the book of Acts where women are tortured for the gospel. You say, why are you saying that? I'm saying that because women played a huge part in advancing the message of Jesus Christ. And here at VU Church, we're grateful for the leadership of women. We're grateful for the leadership of moms. Moms have a way of turning a house into a home. Moms have a way of taking all the lines, the boundaries, and the parameters and bringing color into every situation and circumstance. And today, as we study Acts chapter 12, it just so happens at the end of the scripture, you're going to discover that there's a powerful mom in this story, and there's something powerful about her home that I want you to catch today, because I believe it becomes the principle for VU Church, but also for your homes that you go back to. Let's study together. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 says this. It says, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So let's try to get some of the context here of what we're reading. Acts chapter 12 begins with us seeing that King Herod is ruling and reigning. And at the time that he's ruling and reigning, he's attacking Christians. He's persecuting Christians. It's important that all of us 2,000 years later understand that the Church of Jesus Christ, the way that it's moved forward has not been from success to success, but rather the way the Church of Jesus Christ has moved forward is from sacrifice to sacrifice. The church moved forward even though it went through real trials, real obstacles, real persecution. I oftentimes think about church in this way. I don't know if you know what a lily pad is, but a lily pad is something you'll find in a lake. It's the things that the frogs hang out on. But if you pluck a lily pad out, did you know that 10 more lily pads will show back up? That's how the Church of Jesus works. That every time they try to push the church backwards, the church just gets stronger. Every time they try to shut us up, the church just got louder. And here's what I've learned, and I want you to write this down today. Persecution is often a precursor to multiplication. You got to get this in your spirit that if you're a follower of Jesus, our story is one of real obstacles, real challenges, real trials. The guy that we're following, his name is Jesus. Yeah, they killed him on a cross, stripped him naked. It's amazing to me that we think we're going to come and follow Jesus, and by following Jesus, we think that life is going to be perfect and easy. That was never the promise of our Savior. The promise of our Savior was every storm, every trial, every obstacle, everything that you go through, I'll walk with you through it. Take heart, I have overcome the world. Some of you need to be encouraged because you're under persecution right now. You're under attack. But I got a feeling if you'll stick with Jesus, it's actually a precursor to your growth. It's actually a precursor to your multiplication. Come on, there's a promise on the other side of your problem. So Herod's attacking the church. And he's gone and he's killed James, the brother of John. He's killed him with a sword. And he sees that the people have gotten excited about this. So he has a good plan. He says, I'm going to capture Peter. Peter at this time is really the leader of the Church of Jesus Christ. So he captures Peter and he puts Peter in prison. Now I have a goal in life, and that goal is I don't ever want to go to prison. Can I get an amen? I just don't feel like jail is a part of my calling, okay? I just don't feel like I would do good in prison. I just don't think it's part of my personality type, okay? Stuff goes down in jail. And if I were to go to jail tomorrow, if I can be really honest with you, I would probably start to panic. Some of you would panic for me, shut up. But notice in the text, Peter does not panic at all. And I was thinking to myself, why doesn't Peter panic? If I was in Peter's place, I would panic, but Peter doesn't panic. Why doesn't Peter panic? Peter doesn't panic because this isn't the first time that Peter's been put in prison. Not his first rodeo. A couple weeks ago, I was with a friend of mine, a young pastor, and we were going through Instagram. You know how people are really kind on Instagram. And somebody had written something really, you know, just a blessing on my page. And and this young pastor said, Pastor Rich, man, doesn't that just hurt your feelings so bad? Doesn't that just like want to stop you, man, them writing that kind of stuff on your page? Come on, doesn't that make you just feel really bad? I said, you know, it doesn't make me feel good. But it doesn't feel as bad as the first time. How many of you know what I'm talking about? See, I've already been through that trial. I've already gone through that storm. I've already gone through that valley. And when you go through a valley, when you go through a trial, you start to look back a little bit and say, man, if God was faithful back then, if God got me through that, come on, he can get me through it again in the future. Listen to me, before you panic, look back and see what God has done in the past. Why doesn't Peter panic? Because Peter's been in a prison before. He's already gone through this type of mess. He's already seen jails opened up. He knows that God has done it in the past. If God did it in the past, why can't he do it again in the future? A lot of times we read the story of young David. Young David shows up. He's 13 years of age, barely has two armpit hairs. He takes down a giant. People are like, how did he do it? Wasn't he afraid of that giant? I'm sure he was afraid of that giant, but please understand, this wasn't the first beast he had encountered. Because before he fought a giant named Goliath, he had taken on the bear. That bear went down. He had taken on a lion. Lion. And that slingshot and that rocket worked against the bear. It worked against the lion. I'm sure it'll work again against this giant. If God brought me through the bear and if God brought me through the lion, I know he can bring me through this giant. Come on, somebody. You ought to give God praise, because all you got to do is look back and see your future is bright. Somebody give God a shout of praise today. When I'm tempted to panic, when I'm tempted to walk in anxiety, I need to look backwards for a minute and say, man, I'm still standing. And I've been through some stuff. This wasn't Peter's first rodeo. In fact, I love what the story says. The story says that Herod throws Peter in prison. And notice, this isn't like, you know, white collar prison. This is maximum security stuff. Four squads of 16 dudes for Pastor Peter. Pastor Peter's not panicking. The prison is panicking. I got a word for somebody in this house today. You need to realize that when you step into dark places, you need to realize that when you walk into areas that you feel like you are up against something, please understand, you do not walk into that place alone, but rather that entire situation, that entire circumstance, they step back, because all of heaven walks in with you. You are not alone. If God be for you, who can be against you? Come on, somebody. When you step into places, things change. Peter wasn't panicked. The prison was afraid. Why? Because the Spirit of the living God was inside of Peter. Peter goes into the prison. Look what the Bible says in Acts chapter 12, verse 5. What a good verse. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. What a good word. It doesn't say that Peter went into prison and they did nothing. We're just waiting on God. How many know that waiting on God for a lot of Christians is code to do nothing? But waiting doesn't mean do nothing. Where do we get this stuff? Do nothing. While you're waiting, you can work. While you're waiting, you can worship. The Bible doesn't say they did nothing. No, the Bible says that the church was earnestly praying. Well, what an interesting word, the word earnest. We don't use this word a lot, and so I thought it'd be good for us to define this word earnest. Earnest simply means this. It means serious in intention, purpose, or effort. Sincerely zealous. I love this. Serious in intention. That when I pray, I'm getting serious about the intention of my prayer. They weren't praying, oh God, bless Peter in the prison. What does that even mean? Peter's like, I don't need a blessing. I need chains to fall off. Purpose, or how about some effort in my prayer? I'm putting some time into this thing. I'm putting my focus in this thing. Sincerely zealous. I'm passionate about my prayer. I feel this prayer. I like this thought that earnest prayer is effective prayer. Earnest prayer is effective prayer. If your prayers aren't effective, the question is, are they earnest? If you're not finding any type of prayers to be effective, are you praying earnestly? And you say, well, what does earnestly look like? Here's three words that will help you out. First thing is, they're precise. Precise. Specific. Some of you right now, there's some ladies in this house, you're like, oh, I want to get a husband. And so you're praying, God, I need a man. No, you don't just need a man. You need the right man. You don't need some man. My God. Come on, ladies. You want the right man. I'd get specific. Lord, I want him to love you. You want a Jesus-loving man. How about you want him to have a job? A good one. I want him to pay my bill. Pray that prayer. You don't just want some man. You want the right man. I don't want some job. I want the right job. I don't want just some church. I want to be planted in the right church. I want to see God move mountains. Get precise. How about this? Powerful, powerful. Earnest prayers are powerful. Sometimes we think powerful means like, you know, we get real demonstrative or we get real loud or our body language. God's gonna move. None of that means it's powerful. How many know that real power is when you barely even have to lift your voice and things change? Hey, come here. How many know when I was growing up, I don't know what your home was like, but I had a good dad, and I never had to go, Dad,
I need milk for my cereal.
I'd have to do that. Hey, Dad, can I get some milk for my cereal? And my dad loved me. And because I was the son of my dad, I carried his authority. See, a powerful prayer is a prayer that you pray with confidence because you know the authority that's in you. The book of Acts is the story of men and women who encountered the power of Jesus Christ, crucified in a grave, resurrected. The same power that conquered death, hell, and the grave, it lives in us. And so when I pray with confidence. God, set Peter free from that prison. We know you can do it. We know you will do it. And even if you don't do it, we're going to keep praying. It's precise. It's powerful. How about this? Persistent. Ooh. There's a word for somebody. I don't know what it is. I could preach about it, and I've preached about it in the past. I'm going to preach about it again in the future, especially when we get to the month of August and we go into 21 days of prayer. There's something about persistence. There's something about knocking. There's something about not giving up. I'm going to pray until something happens. I'm going to push. Pray until something happens. God is honored by your persistence. Come on, VU Church, even in the overflow right now, if you know that God is honored by persistence, come on, can we give God a big shout of praise over this house? Come on. Persistent. I'm not gonna give up. The Bible says that Peter's in a prison. He's not panicking. He knows that God has been faithful in the past. He could do it again in the future. And so the Bible says that the church begins to pray earnestly. Acts chapter 12, verse 6, we're walking through the scripture today. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping. Look at this picture. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Givenchy. And sentries stood guard at the entrance. Anyone that laughed just now, pray for them, okay? Suddenly, everyone say suddenly. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals, and Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, there's that word again, suddenly the angel left him. Now, I just want you to, we're just getting some of the facts really quick. The Bible says the night before Herod was to bring him out for trial. Now, we found out in the first four verses that Peter was captured at the beginning of Passover. Passover is a 7 to 8 day period. So he's captured at the beginning. Herod had in mind that he would bring him out at the end of Passover. So now Passover has come to an end. That means he's been in prison anywhere from 7 to 8 days. Do you ever wonder to yourself, and maybe it's just me, if God knew that he was going to rescue Peter from the prison, A, why did he even let him go in the prison in the first place? And secondly, why does he wait till the very last minute to rescue him? You ever notice that God just seems to wait till the very last stinking minute? What's the deal with that? I can't completely explain it, but I just believe oftentimes God will interrupt your story to tell his story. And his story, which is history, is a story of rescue. It's a story of redemption. It's a story of restoration. The Bible says in Romans that at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. The story of the gospel is late in the midnight hour, God will turn it around. And the Bible says that at just the right moment, the day before the trial, the night before, suddenly an angel shows up. We all love that word suddenly. You ever been in a moment where you're praying for God to do something suddenly? You ever been late to work? You're like, suddenly I need you to show up. right? Suddenly, God. But here's what I've learned about suddenly. The sudden movements of God are typically on the heels of the earnest prayers of man. You need to write that down today. You need to get that in your spirit today. The sudden movements of God are typically on the heels of the earnest prayers of man. If you want God to move suddenly, get addicted to praying earnestly. Get addicted to praying quietly. If you want God to do something in the spotlight, get addicted to getting in private with God in the shadows when nobody's looking, and you'll see God start to do things that are suddenly happening. It's very, very easy to look at people's harvest and go, wow, God did something suddenly. But if you don't go back to the seed that was planted, if you don't go back to the water that was poured, you might miss out on the whole process of the miracle. Somebody was praying. It's very easy to look at VU Church and go, oh my goodness, there's people in the overflow and they got five services and thousands of people are showing up. And you might think to yourself, suddenly God did something. And it's true, God suddenly did something, but it was on the heels of earnest prayers. It was on the heels of earnest sacrifice. It was on the heels of people with real focus and intention saying, we're gonna lean in to see what God will do. The Bible says the angel shows up. Look at the picture. Peter is asleep between two soldiers. Two chains, thank you, ma'am. That's her favorite part of the message so far. That part he talked about two chains changed me. Okay, I get it. This is a wild picture, because once again, if I'm in prison, I'm panicking. I'm probably not sleeping good. Peter's like lounging. Asleep between two soldiers. And you say, why? Because I really believe that God's peace can turn your prison into a penthouse. God's peace can turn your prison into a place that all of a sudden you find comfort even in the chaos. Look at how hard he's sleeping. He's sleeping so hard that when the angel shows up, the angel's like, yo, bro, has to hit him. This is a hard sleeper. Like, you know, come back later. No, we're going now, you know. The angel hits Peter and wakes him up. Peter's like, just sleeping between the two soldiers. He's like, get up. Now I want you to know this. The Bible says that he hits Peter, the chains fall off of Peter. And then what does he say to Peter? He says, Peter, put your clothes on and the sandals on your feet and follow me. Listen to me. The angel of the Lord, God, will not do for you what you can do for yourself. So what I mean by that is that there's a miracle in store for you. But you're gonna have to put your own sandals on because you know how to do that. You know how to dress yourself. You don't need the Holy Spirit to wake up and go, dress me. What are you, like Ariel from The Little Mermaid? Like, no. I just, clothe me. Like, don't be weird. You know how to put your shoes on. You don't need God to help you put your shoes on. I just don't know which foot. Yes, you do. Says, yo, wake up. Peter wakes up. He's like, put your sandals on. Put your clothes on. God won't do for you what you can do for yourself. Faith has to learn the essence of how to follow. He followed the angel out of that prison. The things that he couldn't do, he couldn't get the chains off. He couldn't open the prison doors. God did all the heavy lifting, but Peter had to be willing to follow. So God has a harvest for you, but you got to be willing to put a seed in the ground. God's got the right companion for you, but you have to be willing to nurture that relationship. God's got a great church in store for you, but you're going to have to put seed in the ground and sow into it if you want to see the real harvest come about. Come on, 11 a.m. You can respond a little bit better than that. Come on, overflow. That's a word for you. Peter wakes up, and he thinks he's in a dream. This is a good dream. He's like, I'm out of here. Bible says they go through all the 16 guards. He's going past all these dudes. And he finally ends up outside on the street. And he's like, yo, that wasn't just a good dream. That was reality. How many know we serve the God that takes your dreams and turns them into reality? Whew, I'm preaching to myself right now. You don't want this today. You don't want this. Don't you love when preachers say stuff like that? Like super provocative. You don't want this. Like, yeah, we do. Okay, so don't tell us what we want. We're going to scripture because this is really my close, and I got 10 minutes to kind of bring this to an end. Acts chapter 12, look at this. So then Peter, he came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches. This is where it gets good. And from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. Here we go. When this had dawned on him, here we go. He went to the house of Mary, the mother, see what I just did right there? The mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the door entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. I was reading a couple weeks ago as we were studying the book of Acts, and I knew Mother's Day was coming up, and I've seen Acts chapter 12 many times, but I've always kind of just skimmed past the last half of this story because I've always thought the power was in the jailbreak. I always thought the power was found with the angel in the prison. But what if I told you the real power wasn't in the prison, but the real power was in the home? Out of all the places that Peter could have gone to after he was set free, he needed to get out of Jerusalem. It was illegal to be a Christian. If you're a fugitive on the run, you don't stay near the prison. You get out of town. Not Peter. He said, I got to go over to that house. And whose house was it? It was Mary, the mother of John Mark. Let me just help some people really quick, kind of tie some of these characters together in your mind. John Mark was one of the men that went on a missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas actually got into an argument about John Mark, and they split paths and went on their own journey. And the reason why, we don't know what their whole issue was, but we do know that Barnabas had an affinity for John Mark because Barnabas' sister or aunt would have been Mary, and so he really loved John Mark. Mary, we don't know a whole lot about her, but we see some things that she did just in this little verse that I believe today as a community of believers and also as moms in the house at VU, I believe that we should cling to some of these things that are evident in the few verses that we have. Why out of all the places did Peter go back to this house? We're closing right now, so you can write these down. Number one is because this house was full of faith. Full of faith. See, this was the house that the church had gathered in, and they were praying earnestly. Yeah. So the power and the miracle happened in the prison, but the seed was planted in the house. And this house belonged to Mary, meaning she was a mom who said, in this house, we're going to make God first. I want to shout out every mom in this house. I want to shout out the single moms in this house that have decided, have declared, I don't know what you're going to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Come on, can we give a big shout to every mom in this place who makes God first in their home? There's power in that. Something attractive about that. I'm thinking about my mom today. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was this kind of world traveling preacher. He used to travel 5 days out of the week from the age of 0 to 14. Literally, I would see my dad just 2 days out of the week. My mom, she has 4 sons, one of which is handicapped. And I was thinking about my mom this week, like, I don't know how she did it, but we never missed church ever. And this was like back in the day when we were all real Christians. We had Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Friday night. My God. We're going back to that next week, by the way. No. Someone's like, I've been waiting for it, you know. We were in church. My mom drug us to church. Drug us to my first slow dance. Our God is an awesome God. That was my mom's doing. She didn't get everything right, but she was very, very clear that our house, God's first in this home. Let me encourage every mom in this place. Put God first. Make your house full of faith. Your kids are watching you. People are watching you. And more is always caught than taught. Out of all the places Peter, the pastor, the leader of the Church of Jesus Christ, that he could have run to, he ran to Mary, the mother of John Mark's house, because it was in that house that he knew he was going to find some faith. I pray that when people are running from their prisons in this world, I pray that when people are running from the things that are chasing them in this world, I pray that when people feel like fugitives on earth, I pray that when they run to VU Church, they would feel captured by the faith in this house. Hey, this is a house that's looking ahead. We're not looking backwards, we're looking forwards. We got faith in our heart. We believe our God can do anything. I don't know the history of Miami. I believe in the future of Morton, Miami. I'm more committed to the future than I am to the past because this is a house full of faith. Welcome home. This is a house full of faith. But it wasn't just full of faith. It was full of fellowship. Woo-hoo. How many know, in order for fellowship to happen, number one, It has to be allowed. But number two, people have to actually want to go there. So Mary obviously opened up her home to the saints, to the brothers, to the sisters, to come and to worship and to pray in her house. But not just that, people actually wanted to go. It was full of fellowship. It was full of community. It was people friendly. I was thinking about my house growing up. My mom, I don't know what it was about her, but she'd make dinner 5 nights out of the week. And she always made more than enough food because she always expected and assumed that we were bringing guests over to the house. She always set up more than enough placemats. Typically in my house, we always had a cousin who was going through a troubling time, or we had a friend who was having problems at home. They'd be living with us for 2 or 3 months at a time. My mom taught me the power of inclusion, that we're an inclusive home, that we bring people into our house. There was always a pastor staying over for a few days that we were feeding, that we were praying for. Our house was full of people because my mom allowed it to be an access point, but not just that, people wanted to be there. She was a fun mom. I had this thought this week. Moms, you want to create a house that when your kids grow up and they're able to leave, you want to create a house that they actually want to go back to. Not because you're making them, but because they go, wow, that was a house that had fellowship, that I was included and I wanted to be there. How many know we want to build a church that even when you don't have to be here, oh God, you want to be here. Not a place full of insecurity, not a place full of fear, but a place that's inclusive, saying, come on, welcome home. You belong here before you believe, and you belong here before you behave. And even when you're not having to be here, you still want to be here. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. No one made me. I'm not guilted to be here. It's a house full of fellowship. This past week was kind of historic for our church. Season 2 of Cruise began, and this week we set a record. 773 people were in a small group at VU Church this week. Come on, church, we can celebrate better than that. Come on, even in the overflow. My prayer is that as our church grows bigger, it keeps growing smaller, that people find community. Oh, you might not know everyone, but you can know someone. And how does it happen? It happens when we open up our heart and say, you know what? It's an inclusive place. We open up our doors. We're setting, man, I want us to be a church. Man, I got it in my mind right now. I want us to be a church that always makes more than enough. Let's put out more than enough chairs. Let's prepare more than enough food. Let's set a table setting for the one that just might come home. Maybe he's running. Maybe he's a fugitive. Maybe he's got his past behind him, but he's coming and he wants to find that home. May we be the church that says, welcome home. This is a place full of fellowship. Yeah. Number 3. Out of all the places Peter could have gone, he went to Mary, the mother of John Mark. Why? Because it was full of faith. It was full of fellowship. But lastly, it was full of freedom. Can you see this picture? Come on, prophetically for a minute. It was illegal to be a Christian. They were torturing, killing Christians. They were throwing Christians in prison. They had just put John to death with the sword. Now they've captured the leader, Peter, and people are excited about it. But this mom, we don't know much about her. She opens up her home and says, I know out there it's full of terror, and it's full of chaos, and it's full of crime, and it's full of torture, but in here, this is a house that's full of freedom. We're not going to hold back. We're going to worship. We're going to praise. And here's what I love about the church of Jesus Christ, is that I don't care what happens all around us. When we come together, may we be a house that's full of freedom. We don't get to control our circumstance. We don't get to control our situations. We know that if we follow Jesus, there's a good chance persecution's gonna come. But I pray that we would have a spirit of freedom. How many know that even in the prison, Peter was still free? That's how he was sleeping like that. And when he got out of the prison, He wasn't worried about his circumstance. He said, no, I just want to go to the place that I can gather and I can worship, the place that's full of faith, the place that's full of fellowship, and the place that's full of freedom. I'm going over to Mary's house, the mother of John Mark, because I know when I get there, I'm going to find the real thing. I was in Mumbai, India on Wednesday. And there's an incredible ministry in Mumbai led by a good friend of ours named Biju Thumpi, who's part of the Hillsong family. And they run a ministry there called Vision Rescue that goes into the slums and it rescues kids. It educates kids. And I was talking to Biju and he was giving us the stats, and the stats were radical. Millions of people in poverty. And we went into the slums and we interacted with the kids. And it looks so hopeless. It looks so defeated. I was talking to Biju. I just said, man, this is like heavy, heavy stuff. But I love this man in the midst of what appeared to be hell. He said, oh, but Rich, because of Jesus, there's hope. Yeah. He said, we can solve this. Yeah. And if I can be honest with you, like my faith wasn't where his was, you know? I'm like, I don't know if we can solve this. He said, we can solve this, Rich. He said, we got to educate them. We got to give them the gospel. And he said, Rich, our whole mission is not to take kids out of the slum, but rather to take the slum out of the kids. And when you find a grace-centered church, when you find a house that's turned into a home, our goal is not to take you out of your circumstance, but rather to get the circumstance out of your spirit, that today, because of Jesus Christ, you can find freedom, that this house is full of freedom, regardless of what you're going through. Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Come on, somebody, give God a shout of praise.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.